You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here, you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as the community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. So go to NewChurches.com and download the exclusive State of Church Planning Research Report for free. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins. Awkward little pause.
I always do this. This is like the third episode, but still.
Well, episode six, third with you.
Oh, the Stetzer doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, today, you know what? We have a special treat, actually. We have a question from someone you know, Todd. So, in fact, yes. This is Mike Kelsey.
Will be keeping me accountable, actually.
All right. So, let's listen to the question, and I am dying to ask you, you know, what it was like to work with. Okay, no, we can't roast him, but I'd love to hear some context as to, you know, why he's asking the question he is. All right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's listen to it.
Hi, my name is Mike Kelsey. I'm calling from McLean Bible Church in the Washington, D.C. area. We're a large multi-site church, and I have had so many positions in the church. I came on at our original sending campus. I went out to launch a campus. And now I'm leading a newly merged campus in a brand new building. And my question is, the perennial multi-site question, how do you balance resourcing the campuses in a way that's helpful with giving them enough flexibility and freedom so that they're not bogged down?
All right. So we're going to thank you again, Mike, for submitting that question. And we're going to do something a little bit different because I know you guys know each other.
Yep.
All right. And I feel like in what he was sharing, the idea of transitioning and moving from here to there is common in a multi-site church.
Yes.
So we will get to the whole idea of balancing resources, you know, the real question that Mike asked. But I'd love for us just to hit this first thing quickly, the idea of multi-site and, you know, transitioning and...
Yeah. So the interesting thing about Mike, okay, so Mike Kelsey, his Twitter handle is actually at Mike Kelsey. So K-E-L-S-E-Y. He's got a good feed. The great thing about Kelsey is he launched a campus within 60 days. 60 days of me finding the place and saying, this is, by this point in time, we had it down pretty well where, you know, I knew what we were looking for as far as, you know, the parking and egress. And, you know, that place actually has no parking because it's in the middle of Silver Spring is where that campus was located. But it was right next to a metro. It was right next to a couple of different things that just made it a good venue. When, you know, we said, okay, this is a go, the big question is who? So everywhere throughout your organization, you need to be an organization that thinks about succession at every level.
Okay.
I think it's great. Vander Blumen and Warren Bird, you know, their book recently is that came out called Next. It's about senior pastor succession. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things that we need to talk about is just leadership development in the church and developing a leadership pipeline. So one of the things that, you know, I think did a good job of having in place there was we were really aggressive about going out and getting young leaders and giving them significant ministry so that they had the knowledge, experience, and we were able to coach them to be a campus pastor pretty early on.
Yeah.
So Mike went from, I can't even remember what position he was in before he was a campus pastor, but basically he got tapped on the shoulder and said, hey, we're going to try something new.
Yeah.
We're going to launch a campus in 60 days. What do you think? And,
yeah.
And you know, he was up for it. So cool. looking at that and what transpired there, and then also knowing the different positions that he has personally gone through since then, I would say, you know, one of the most interesting things is as a campus develops, it's going to become more and more like its campus pastor.
Yeah.
So if the campus pastor has a heart for missions, guess what? The congregation is going to have a heart for missions.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if he's taking a video feed or if he's just preaching the announcements.
Yeah.
Because he is the person who is pastoring. He is the person who's leading the leaders. And even if he's not, you know, preaching every week, he's still going to have a big impact on the heart of that congregation.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I'm going to hit a pause on that. And I know, because I do want to go to the question that Mike asked, but if
don't
any mess, of you...
Don't trouble me with details.
No, but you know what? If you want more information about this, or even, I feel like what we just shared there in the last 3 minutes, there are a million questions more that can be asked. So go to newchurches.com. On the sidebar, there's send a voicemail. And in 45 seconds, you can ask more questions on this. But let's get back to the question that Mike really asked, and thank we'll you, address Daniel, this a little bit later. So how do you balance resourcing the campuses in a way that's helpful with giving them enough flexibility and freedom so they're not bogged down? So, okay. Yeah.
So part of the reason why I was going into Mike and who he was is to say, really to use that example. So when you look at your campus pastors, when you look at campuses, frankly, you need to decide how much DNA are they going to have of the mothership. So it's really important early on, if you know you're going to do a bunch of these, it's really important early on to get your governance and get your communication, get your structure put in place. If you have a strong conviction that campuses are what you want to do, you need to create a culture and then constructs or systems and structures around that, align those things to make it happen. Yeah. You get that flywheel going and you're in business. So what we did, and again, we did this the hard way. We found out, as we went, that there was tension. There were situations where you would have a children's person at the main campus and a children's person at another campus who didn't want to do the same training.
Yeah.
Or they didn't want to, share in some responsibility, or there was some major initiative and they were like, we're not doing that initiative.
Yeah.
You know, there's all those things that happen. So the big thing is going back to the beginning and saying, what kind of campus are we going to be? Mm-hmm. As we do multi-site, are our campuses going to be an identical twin?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be a sibling?
Yeah.
Are they going to be a cousin?
Yeah.
So it's how much DNA
differentiating them
do you share?
Mm-hmm.
And so, for us, we were like, well, it's going to be a sibling.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to share the common core DNA. And there were things that we said, you do not change this. If it is core DNA, you do not change it. A book I would recommend walking people through is Politics, Silos, and Turf Wars by Lencioni.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and in there you're looking at, man, I really need a whiteboard right now.
Yeah.
But I don't have that luxury. So picture three buckets in your mind. Bucket one is, we do not change this. This is our vision. This is our values. This is our mission. This is, the things that make us who we are as a church. We do not change.
Yeah.
Now, some people will put the way that they do baptism in that. Some people won't. Some people will put the way that they do, the even the environment or something.
Yeah.
They're just that detailed.
Yeah.
But for most, it's that key vision, values. This is the way our governance is. This is our elders. This is the way we do this, that, and the other. Those big things. Second bucket is, you know what? It's a maybe.
Mm.
So it needs to come back to the executive team. It has to come back through the campus pastor to the other campus pastors and the executive team to say whether or not, we can do this.
Yeah.
Are we the only campus that's not going to participate in, this event this year, this particular outreach that we have for our city or whatever it may be. And then lastly, it's, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But communicating that well, communicating it up front is really important. So everybody knows, is that a bucket one, bucket two, or bucket three?
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you there are going to be some people that think it's a bucket three.
Yeah.
And it's a bucket two.
Yeah. And that's why clarity is so key. Clarity and who has the power to make decisions. I mean, this is going to take a lot of time to narrow, to solidify that in your church. But the more you push towards clarity and the more you push towards, okay, who has the ultimate decision-making power over these decisions are going to help you in the long run.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exposing people early to how decisions are made is really important.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still up on our site, but I did a blog on this type of meeting that we would have sometime. It was like a voice vote view.
Yeah. And we can link to that in the show notes.
Yeah. And so it was basically bringing people into some larger meetings that they may not have needed to be there, but they were there just to watch, or they were there to participate. And we would ask them questions, and, you know, they had a voice in the meeting. And of course, the people that had a vote were the people that were there every week. But we would, as an executive team, we would bring people in just so that they could see how we made decisions, and they could see how to handle healthy conflict and how not to handle healthy conflict sometimes, because we're all human, we're all people. But, you know, for the most part, it was, when you do things like that, you do two things: you develop people, and you also take away the mystery of what they do in there. So one of the ways that I think you can keep clarity, it sounds really weird, but, you know, often you have to go through some messy stuff before you have clarity. You can't just say, hey, we're going to have three buckets, and this is what's in the bucket, one, two, and three. No, that's going to take time to flesh out. There are going to be issues that you guys wrestle through as a group, and you may not think it's working, but it's worth it, and you just got to keep doing it.
Yeah. I mean, the other point of advice that I would give to you, Mike, and others of you who are starting out in a multi-site church, or maybe you're in a multi-site church and you're trying to figure out, or in a church that's considering multi-site, to consider this, especially as you're starting out, I would actually recommend not to have a full-time campus pastor at a campus. Because what that would do right from the get-go is begin to create this division between campuses and the main campus. What I would actually recommend is, I'm not saying whether you want to go part-time, full-time, I think part of that has to do with your finances, but in terms of responsibility, make sure that your campus pastor has responsibility that touches on other campuses, that touches on that global nature. Because by doing that, it'll actually help them think beyond their individual campus.
But how are you supposed to do that if you're not full-time?
No, I'm not talking about full-time time. Sorry. I'm talking about responsibility.
Okay, so instead full-time of responsibilities.
Yeah, so instead of 100% of your responsibilities just being that campus, make sure some of your responsibilities bring back to Central.
That's fair. So put them in other working groups or strategic initiatives that may be wider, especially if they don't know the church. And I would say, guys, please put together a leadership pipeline within your own organization so that your campus pastors come from within. There's very few instances where I would say you need to hire a campus pastor from outside.
Yeah.
The only reason why you do that is if you have something really messed up in your culture and you want to change it. Yeah. That's the only time you would hire that level outside your organization.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, Todd is the director of leadership development at Lifeway, and we do offer consulting for Leadership Pipeline as well. So you can contact us for a little bit more of that information. To sum it up, Mike, as you were asking about the idea of resourcing the campuses, providing them with enough freedom and flexibility, the thing that you need to really consider is Central Services. Thinking through that, vision. Yeah,
that's a very, very, very good point, because that's in part why Mike is even asking this question. Is when you consider Central Services, you have to consider, a lot of times they may start out smaller and they grow as campuses grow. And then it's really, again, it comes back to decision rights. Again, it comes back to priorities. So, you know, you've basically got a lot of times core services will say, well, you're not either using your resources correctly or you're not prioritizing correctly. Mm-hmm. So either you want to do all this stuff, you can't do all this stuff. You have to have, you know, you have to prioritize correctly. It's a prioritization issue.
Yeah.
And then the campus will be like, no, it's a resource issue.
Yeah.
You know, you're not providing us the resources we need.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of back and forth there. And that can be a real sticky point. And make it seem like campuses don't have the freedom that they want.
Yeah.
Because typically that core service group is where? Back at the main campus. Yeah.
Which is why I believe the campus pastor needs to have some level of responsibility in working groups or, you know, over in Central, so that they can communicate that vision to the campus and to their staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Right on. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thanks again for those of you who have already left a rating and review for us on iTunes. This helps others discover the podcast and benefit from it as much as we hope you are. And here it is. Next episode, on episode 7, we'll be giving away a custom New Churches Bluetooth speaker to one of you who've left a review for our podcast. So leave a review today and you'll be put into that draw.
And get your wife's phone or your husband's phone. And leave another one.
Yeah, so you'll be entered in twice. Yeah, exactly. Thanks again for listening in.